You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who've been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex.
Are you outraged or not? Talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex? March 2nd, 2021, Data Center Rand Paul, in questioning Dr. Rachel Levine as Biden's nominee to be Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. We've covered this story previously, but I want to spend more time on it today. This issue is getting way out of control. The very fact that Biden would nominate someone that is so hell-bent on gender operations on children. Why? Well, Dr. Rachel Levine is a woman who was a man who had 2 children with a wife and then decided in 2013 or 11, I think it was, I don't want to be this gender anymore. I want to switch genders. Divorce followed 2 years later. Haven't heard anything about how their kids are doing with this attitude. I did give some time to this the other day, but I'm telling you, I do not want to walk away from this subject. This is the leftist move that will ruin our nation forever. And they're pushing in so many ways. Abortion everywhere without any reason, if necessary, if we can get it. Full open voting, anyone coming across the country, across our border. We don't have a stinking border. Come on in and vote. And now let's see what we can do about really messing up our kids. Talk them into transgender operations. I cannot let this go another day without spending more time on it. And then in the midst, by the way, you should know that Dr. Rachel Levine, while being questioned by Senator Rand Paul the other day, Republican of Kentucky, got praises from the left. Oh, pray, we're so glad you handled that properly. Wait till you hear the answers Dr. Levine gave. And, of course, they're critical of Senator Rand Paul because he dared ask such questions. And then today you got one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. I mean, ever heard. And it comes from former CIA Director John Brennan.
Well, I must say, to Claire's point, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days. I mean, what I see of my other white males saying.
What is he talking about? And the laugh was not from him, and it was a host on MSNBC. But he said, I'm embarrassed to be a white male because I see what other white males are doing. But he's only talking about conservative white males. We're going to spend some time today taking his remarks, say, what about your white Democrats and some of the things they say? I don't want to make it race, but that's what he's done. And then, in addition to that race issue, Dr. Seuss books, got to get rid of them. They are racist. They are so racist. They're so racist that Obama didn't know they were racist. Obama praised the author, creator of Dr. Seuss books. Michelle Obama, while in the White House, did a reading and a little dance with the kids from a Dr. Seuss book. They didn't know. Somebody didn't tell the Obamas it's racist. Well, now it is. So we're going to get rid of it. Because there are too few male characters and there are questions about the color of the characters. So we have something against green people now? I didn't know that. We're going to get into that. And if you want to talk about problems I have with Dr. Seuss, just the very thought of green eggs and ham, that kind of makes me kind of sick anyway. But I take it for what it is. It's a child's book. And then Andrew Cuomo, New York governor, bully, cannot be pushed around. Feels free to reach out and touch women, lean over and kiss them, even at their wedding to someone else. Is it that bad or is it being amplified? Well, joining us today, Christopher Bedford, senior editor for The Federalist, and he's going to tell us more about why Democrats are now jumping on and piling on Cuomo. We have got a lot to cover. If you haven't heard this program before, let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air for the next 2 hours. Rest of you, lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Could have seen this one coming. Dr. Seuss is one of the world's most beloved children's authors. He's an American. But his books were written before 2008, so it was inevitable that somebody in academia was going to call them racist. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. A new academic study argues that, quote, racism spans across the entire Seuss collection, the oeuvre. The study says it's a myth that books like Horton Hears a Who and the Sneetches, which are actually against racism, promote tolerance. The chief argument is that Seuss's characters are too male and they have the wrong skin color.
Wrong skin color. Green is not a good skin color. I agree. Green. I'm sorry. If you're green, I guess you might call me racist, but I don't think it's a good color on you. Which, by the way, if anyone saw some pictures of me in Cancun over New Year's Eve, yes, the person next to me, their face all green, was not my date. Secondly, it was somebody posing as a green person. It was New Year's Eve. What'd you expect? But Dr. Seuss, the books are being called racist. That was Tucker Carlson talking about it last night. All of this comes from a ruling from Virginia. Virginia's largest school districts issuing a report. Say we are going to take these books out. The school district reads in part for the report. Realizing that many schools continue to celebrate Read Across America Day in partial recognition of Dr. Seuss's birthday, it's important for us to be cognizant of research that may challenge our practice in this regard. As we become more culturally responsible and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years, there's been research revealing racial undertones in the books written and the illustrations drawn by Dr. Seuss. Let me read you some of the titles of these books, because I just want you to ask, when you think of these titles, you must be really buried inside the races. I mean, it is so slight and so hidden. The Cat in the Hat. And I mentioned earlier, Green Eggs and Ham. That kind of makes me sick anyway. Oh, and another one. Oh, The Places You'll See. Oh, here's one that you got to consider. This must be racist. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Yeah, see. Fox and Socks. And Hop on Pop. And If I Ran the Zoo. And How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You remember that one? Well, that should have been banned a long time ago, because it has to be something about religion. And Christmas is celebrated by Christians and those who like Christmas. Not a Jewish holiday, really. It's not a Muslim holiday. They should ban for that reason, don't you think? You know, one of the ones that they are calling out that would be racist, it is one I just read to you a moment ago. Which one do you think it might be? If I Ran the Zoo. That's one of the six books that they're now deciding they're hurtful. They're nasty. Another one. And To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. The pressure got to be too much for the Dr. Seuss Enterprises. They are now stepping forward. And the fact that these have been in our culture all this time, and no one was preaching race in the process. I don't know of a single parent that used that as a way to show and demean race. And I don't know any child that ever took it that way. Children don't know racism until you teach it to them. And none of these books are going to do that. But Dr. Seuss Enterprises, that holds all the licenses and efforts right now, now acknowledging in a statement coinciding with the author and illustrator's birthday, these books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Six of them. The one, two I just read, and To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, and If I Ran the Zoo. They've been under pressure for some time, and now they're caving. Oh, what's another four? What are the other four, Larry? Okay, I'm glad you asked. McElligot's Pool. I don't think I've even read that one. Scrambled Egg Super. I have to admit, I don't know that one. The Cat's Quizzer. Ah, that sounds almost sexist, too. I don't know. That sounds kind of personal and sexist. That should be pulled. Oh, and here, this must be a race. This is a black and white issue. If there ever was one to be found in Dr. Seuss books, make note of this one. On Beyond Zebra. Black and white, obviously. Which takes us to the joke. I mean, what's black and white and still red all over? You could say the newspaper. Could be an embarrassed zebra. Oh, I'm sorry I went that. Listen, it's Dr. Seuss. Can't we have some fun? No, you can't have any fun. They're not going to let you have it. Now, here, what's the problem with this? Well, and To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street. Here's what they claim. An Asian person is portrayed wearing a conical hat, holding chopsticks, eating from a bowl. I don't know if you're aware of it, but that's typical in Asian countries and even in the U.S. And a lot of folks who never touch sushi suddenly decide, I will try that. And they try to use chopsticks, and sometimes to clumsiness, and they try to do it. And if you've ever been in Chinatown of New York or in some Chinatown of San Fran and everything, you're going to find a lot of them do it, and they're right close to the bowl and eat because they don't want to. I mean, that's not being racist. That's actually demonstrating what they do and how they do it and how they're able to eat with chopsticks. Most of them say, just give me a fork. But that, because it's an Asian person wearing a conical hat, I guess one of those pointed hats, holding chopsticks, eating from a bowl, that's racist? Oh, and then you got If I Ran the Zoo. I didn't know this. Includes a drawing of two barefoot African men wearing what appear to be grass skirts with their hair tied above their heads. They're barefoot. There are a lot of people in different countries, in third world countries in particular, that go barefoot. Now, I don't think that's racist. That's an economic issue, but so be that. Grass skirts. First of all, maybe you have to ask, with everything going on, are they really men? Maybe that's the issue. Maybe that's what the issue. And the hair tied above their heads. I got several black friends that like to tie their hair up in buns or even a ponytail. Clinton, I'm looking at you. Hey, it's their style. It's personal. I don't consider that would be racist, but you don't get a chance to make the decision. They're telling you what's racist. Theodore Seuss Geisel, born in Springfield, Mass., March 2, this date, 1904. His books have been translated into dozens of languages, Braille, sold in more than 100 countries. He died in 1991. He remains popular, still earning $33 million before taxes in 2020. That's almost $10 million from 5 years ago. Forbes still lists him on its highest paid dead celebrities of 2020. You know who's number one? Got to be racist, obviously. Michael Jackson. Random House Children's Books, a publisher, issued a brief statement. We respect the decision of Dr. Seuss Enterprises and the work of the panel that reviewed this content this year and their recommendation. It went on to say, as educated as adored as Dr. Seuss is by millions around the world for the positive values, there's been increasing criticism in the years over the ways over blacks, Asians, and others drawn in some of his most beloved books. So you had to also buy into the idea that Dr. Theodore Seuss Geisel wanted to portray racism in a hidden way. Well, I want you to hear from Dr. Swain. Dr. Swain is a former professor. Dr. Carol Swain, author of a book, Be the People. Dr. Swain is a black woman, a professor, an educator, and she was being questioned about her thought about her state of Virginia making this decision to declare Dr. Seuss books need to be banned from her own state of Virginia. Dr. Carol Swain.
And you have to dig really hard and have a creative imagination to find racism in Dr. Seuss. I read it to my children. My grandchildren have read it. Dr. Seuss, really? There's no stopping point for these people. They are totally insane. They're obsessed with race, and they are the true racists.
Again, that's Dr. Carol Swain, a black professor, educator, author of her own book, Be the People. Well, of course, I guess they're going to have some on the other side say, well, she's been misled. She's drinking the Kool-Aid or something. I mean, an educated woman, she's not allowed to have her own opinion because it differs from you who want to ban Dr. Seuss books. Biden stepping forward. And he's helping basically erase Dr. Seuss from read across America. In his proclamation today, he did not mention Dr. Seuss. Somebody got to him and said, don't mention Dr. Seuss. Donald Trump did, and he highlighted. Oh, well, of course Larry Trump would, because he's a racist. Well, I also should point out to you that former President Barack Obama also cited Dr. Seuss in annual proclamations on Read Across America. In fact, Obama said in his 2015 proclamation, the works of Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known to us as Dr. Seuss, has sparked a love for reading in generations of children, inspiring kids to dream big. His 2016 proclamation describes Seuss as one of America's most revered wordsmiths. And on one of the Read Across America days, Michelle Obama, reading to some students in the East Room of the White House, kind of did a dance with them when they were reading all the things you do that are good for you. Again, the comment, though, from Dr. Carol Swain, a professor, on her view of Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss was a person that promoted racial unity if they would take the time to study him. But they don't. They go after anyone and everyone. No one's safe. And if you look at some of the materials that they push, it is so racist. Their agenda is racist. And whether it's trying to have proportional representation in elite schools or removing Shakespeare from colleges and schools. Okay. What they're doing is dumbing down education. It hurts every student. Mm-hmm. We need to push back. Every parent, right, regardless of race, must push back.
I fully agree. Thank you, Dr. Carol Swain, for saying the same thing. They're calling them out as racist. If they're going to look for racism and everything, they're the ones that are really racist. because they're trying to find some racism. We have the National Education Association, which founded Read Across America Day in 1998, purposely set it up to be on Dr. Theodore Geisel's birthday. The author of Dr. Seuss has over the years started de-emphasizing Seuss, encouraging a more diverse reading list for children. That's fine. I don't mind encouraging other readings and other books. But they're all caught up in the cancel culture issue. That's what's at stake here. Make no mistake about it. That's really what's at stake. They want to do what they can to destroy it. Learning for Justice, a liberal education advocacy group, apparently among those pressuring to get rid of the books, cited a study by St. Catherine University that claimed Dr. Seuss books are covered with, quote, Orientalism, I can't even say it right, Orientalism, anti-blackness, and white supremacy. Just because they wrote a magazine article about it. We are going way too far. But coming up, something that's even more threatening to our children. Open season to talk to kids, encourage them, with parents not involved, to have transgender surgery. We get into that for the rest of the hour. Stand by, please.
None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them.
That is Senator Rand Paul again the other day in the nomination hearing of Dr. Rachel Levine to become the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. Dr. Rachel Levine, who was a man, who's now a woman, and is very active in pushing for kids to have sexual alterations, transformations, using drugs in addition to surgery, and really without the parents having a thing to say about it. And she is apparently just fine for us beginning to teach it in lower grades. There are adults who are confused about their sexual identity right now. And I'm not mocking if you're dealing with that issue. I am not mocking that. I pray for you, as a matter of fact, that you get your life turned around and you find some peace. But don't be pushing that up on kids who probably didn't even think about it until you start presenting it. You know how kids are. Come on, give me a break. You know exactly, man, if I'm going to use Joe Biden. Come on, man. How many kids do you see walking around now with their pants down below their butt, exposing their underwear? Do you think they were taught to do that? No, they saw others doing it, thought, that looks cool. I'm going to do the same thing. Or you see kids that cut their hair in a mohawk, which nobody really did. Now everybody's got their own style. Just accept that. But don't be forcing them, as these kids are evolving and changing, that maybe what we need to do is deal with your sexual orientation. And a lot of it is going to involve mutilation. And Dr. Rachel Levine didn't really try to defend that, but here's Senator Rand Paul talking about this mutilation issue.
What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem.
We're going to get into this in more detail in the next segment. And speaking about sexual mutilation, the World Health Organization recognizes that it's wrong. This nation is trying to put a stop to it. It's primarily practiced in 30 countries in Africa and the Middle East, some countries in Asia and Latin America, and particularly for women. 90% or more of women aged 15 to 49 have been subjected to female genital mutilation in across 31 countries in Africa, in the Middle East, and Asia. Because it's part of their culture. When they're trying to do it in this country, we're trying to put a stop to it. But now they're moving forward. This leftist movement that anything and everything goes is to make our children the next experiment. And you heard Senator Rand Paul a moment ago say, they're using drugs that aren't even approved for this stuff, and how the left just blew up over the discussion of hydroxychloroquine might help with dealing with COVID. Remember that? And they say believe in the science. They're not looking at the science here. And there are no long-term studies of any of this. That is why I want to spend more time the rest of this hour pretty much dealing with this issue. We got to put a stop to this now. Do not let them take another foot forward. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field.
You hear where this is going? It's kind of a prepared statement. I'm interrupting it here because I want to make sure we're all on the same page. The question was very simple. The answer is already prefabricated because they knew they're going to be hit with it, or Dr. Rachel Levine expected it. So they're ready, but not with a real answer. A little look at this, a little bit of that, and a little, you know, a little seltzer in your pants. And we all have a nice dance. Is that what we're after? Because that's pretty much where this is going. There is no solid answer. So let's pick it up again. Let's set the stage again and follow it through somewhat of a conclusion as Dr. Rachel Levine, nominee by Biden's administration to be the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services for our nation, being questioned by Senator Rand Paul the other day. And I just wanted to make sure we put this back in front of you again, because I'm afraid it got lost in all of the nonsense about Cuomo and his sexual escapades and so forth. I don't want to lose this story. This is critical to our young people going forward. Let's pick it up again.
Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor.
Where is the left? Where is the left that cried out, you can't separate children from their parents? You can't put children in cages. We got a homeless problem. We need to help and help everybody. Where's the left saying, but don't be doing this to children on the street, just picking them up and saying, yeah, maybe your problem is you need to have a sex change. Dr. Rachel Levine, an American pediatrician. I want to point that out. But primarily professor of pediatrics and psychiatry. I'm not saying Dr. Rachel Levine is not a doctor. I'm not saying Dr. Rachel Levine is not qualified to be a pediatrician or even a psychiatrist. And in fact, before being nominated by Joe Biden to be the Assistant Secretary for Health, she had served as a Pennsylvania Physician General from 2015 to 2017. Dr. Levine was born October 28, 1957. Born as a man. Graduated from Harvard and even Tulane University. Studying in pediatrics and fellowship in adolescent medicine at Mount Sinai Medical Center. Levine and wife had two kids, David and Dana. I have no idea what the situation is with the kids or what they're doing at this point. I hope their mind is set right. I do know that in 2011, Dr. Levine decided to become a woman. And then 2 years later, the wife said, I'm out of here. This is the person that is being praised by the left as a rebuke, Senator Rand Paul, for questioning the safety and wisdom of trying to change children's sex via surgery and drugs, and even bringing the subject up in front of kids and putting it in front of them. I have no doubt. In fact, I will have to say I know a someone who's very close to me in many ways, and I have a lot of gay friends. And this person has been around them as a child, has been around them, and I don't talk bad about them. I don't mock them or say anything about them. And I look back, and this child began to have problems in thinking that maybe their sexual orientation wasn't right, and they maybe it wasn't just that, but maybe they thought, you know, maybe I'm homosexual. And they began to go in that direction, and I thought it was going to be a phase. It didn't. They ended up going that way. Well, I pray for them, wish them the best. And I thought maybe I should have had some kind of discussion with them. But when we're talking about not just deciding if you are either going to be heterosexual or homosexual, but you're going to have transformative surgery and drugs that are not tested and are being used off-label to accomplish this, as Rand Paul said earlier, the drugs that have not been approved for this. Senator Rand Paul, to that extent, when he was going through these questionings the other day, he said this whole thing could end up just being a mistake all the way around, and especially for the one that ends up undergoing the knife or the drugs.
I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breast amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue.
That's pretty much the story I was telling you about the person I know that decided they're homosexual. They just did not undergo any drugs or surgery to make any change. Kids go through phases. Adults go through phases. And we're not all as stable as we would like, maybe we should be. But the problem is you got those on the left, they're just kind of egging it on, just encouraging. You got Fortune 500 business groups are increasingly promoting the transgender ideology alongside their push for civic diversity. I'll read that to you again. Fortune 500 business groups increasingly promoting the transgender ideology. And Senator Chuck Schumer was upset so much with Rand Paul's questions. He said, I was just fuming. He said to read Schumer's remarks, he said, he showed a complete lack of understanding, a complete lack of empathy, making my blood boil with anger. If I didn't have a mask, you'd see my teeth gritting. Because Paul was asking legitimate questions, he raised that thing about open mutilation. Let's try that once again to see if there's any kind of answer, please.
What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, do you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem.
And again, we got no answer. We got just a standard canned answer that was ready. Senator, these are nuanced issues, and I'll be glad to meet with you and your staff. Senator Rand Paul made a point. He said, look at what we see in England and what we see that we're going to end up having in this country. We don't put a stop to it now.
We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who have been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex.
And I am outraged, and I believe many of you are. Do not let this subject simply pass by. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a soccer player booted from the U.S. Soccer Federation for his speech regarding the anthem. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Oh, This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Megan Rapinoe, of course, a female soccer star, the first to follow in Colin Kaepernick's steps to kneel during the national anthem to protest racism, police brutality, or whatever they're trying to claim at this point, did it, of course, as a member of the U.S. women's soccer team. Well, the soccer team organization board did have a rule at that point that players would be barred from kneeling during the national anthem. They've since repealed it and reaffirmed it in a recent meeting, more than 71% voting that, yeah, we're going to continue to not punish those who decide to not stand for the national anthem. Now, just the other day, the women's soccer team, all of them stood and saying, you know, we're past that phase, we made our point, and we're done doing it. Well, the very fact that the U.S. Soccer Federation decided to insist that we're not going to bar anybody for doing it got a complaint from Kenneth Jean, a Paralympian soccer player. He was deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan three times, injured in 2010, started training with U.S. Paralympics national soccer team in 2014, competed for Team USA in the 2016 Paralympics. And he is incensed. And in fact, because he was incensed and made a statement about it, you know what happened? You know who got punished? He did. The council removed him, said he, quote, violated the prohibited conducts policy section on harassment, which prohibits racial and other harassment based upon a person's protected status, race, including any verbal act in which race is used or implied in a manner which would make a reasonable person uncomfortable. You know what he did? He basically said, I think we should be honoring that flag. I mean, this is a guy that was deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan three times. And he's stating, I will never apologize for the statements I made, never bow down to mob mentality of intimidation, bullying, or the social media's warriors' Gestapo tactics. I'm embarrassed to represent a hypocritical federation that conducts a complete assault on diversity of thought without even seeking clarifying statements from me in their smear campaign. I'm embarrassed at the cowardice of so-called friends who've been over to the mob knowing very full well the quality of my character in order to preserve their own image. And he adds, the overwhelming support I received from a number of people within the federation compared to the 30-plus death threats I received from the insignificant rabid keyboard warriors was appreciated. But I implore you to speak publicly in your support in the future for those bold enough to challenge the status quo and not just privately. Nothing I said was racist. I've done more for people of color all over this planet at the risk of my own life and throughout the entirety of my 17-year career than the entire Athletes Council have done cumulatively, and I will continue to do so. He said, the one point I will clarify is that when I stated a small percentage of our country are responsible for the terrors of slavery hundreds of years ago, of which 400,000 plus men died to abolish under our nation's flag, I was in no way minimizing the horrors of slavery. I was simply illuminating the misplaced rage and squandered opportunities to bring to light the tens of millions of people who are enslaved today. More so than at any point in history. Persecuted people who I readily put my life on the line to recover from the pernicious dregs who prey on them. I welcome any and all respectful debates devoid of emotion. Will gladly have an open dialogue publicly with anyone who was brave enough to place unwarranted labels on me from the safety of their mobile devices. See, that's where we've gone with this thing. Did I like the idea of kneeling for the flag? No, I didn't. But it is a free country. And folks have fought our wars under that flag to defend your right and your freedom and our Constitution. As long as we don't order everyone that you have to do it this way, I guess that's a finding. On one hand, I kind of wish we did or would. But again, some don't want to take that approach. So be it. You can't have freedom. You can't have freedom unless you're really going to accept all freedom, not just freedom the way I see it, the freedom that truly should exist. What we're going through right now is a major change of just redefining everything, changing it up, making it look different. And how we do that? Well, we buy into the idea that let's just relabel it. It'll be all new and look different. I had a listener, I think it was Ken, sent this to me the other day. Abraham Lincoln being asked, if you count the tail of a dog, a leg, how many legs does a dog have? Lincoln said, four. The guy said, but if you count the tail as a leg, and he said, that doesn't change it. That's not a leg. You can call it a leg, but it's not a leg. The dog still has four. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's way beyond the understanding of some of our leftists today. And if you are white, you have reason to be embarrassed. You're going to hear that from a former CIA director coming up. And the assault on Andrew Cuomo from Democrats. The vultures are swooping lower and lower. All coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.